Hello, this is Brent Elliott with Four Roses Bourbon, and you're listening to the Bourbon Podcast.
Welcome to Bourbon Podcast. We've got another good episode of Double Barrel.
Right on.
If you're still listening and haven't given up on us.
Hey, you know what, though? If you look at our stats on double... Yeah, first of all, we apologize. We get it wrong every time. But the stats on the double barrels are really high.
Like,
people enjoy it, and they like to hear us make fools of ourselves.
Yeah, you guys really know nothing. You weren't just saying that.
And I had three emails this week, Joe, about the history you give.
Oh,
and
no.
They love it.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah, they love it.
Don't tell them.
They love it. So
don't worry, because I'm already self-conscious about it, Kyle. Every time I do this, I'm like, how do I cut this down? Because I'm going.
No, it's awesome. I love it. I don't need it, because when you're not here, it's like, oh gosh, what do we talk about?
It's a story, right? And every bourbon we've picked has a great story.
Yep.
And these two included.
Well, we got some really good guests coming up too. Preston Van Winkle's agreed to be on. We've got a couple book authors that are coming on. A guy that authored the 2024 Taste of Whiskey. It's like this. It's almost like an encyclopedia.
Huh.
I'm going to bring him on. We got the author of Warehouse H coming on in a month or so.
I think we got...
Victor Deadman's coming back on.
I think we got Uncle Nearest coming
Uncle
on.
Uncle Nearest, right? Absolutely, yep. Yeah.
We got some
direct
good
descendant of Uncle Nearest.
Yep.
So, yeah. But... I don't know. It's going to be hard to top these double barrels, because people are loving them, man. They're sending us all kinds of messages and talking about what idiots we are.
They're fun to do.
Yeah, they are.
Now, so if this is your first double barrel, this is our what?
Fourth. We've recorded, yeah.
So the goal is to have an allocated versus a non-allocated. Now, just because it's non-allocated doesn't mean it's always on the shelf. It's just mean that you're not going to have to pay hundreds or thousands of dollars sometimes to get it on the secondary market. So today it's Michter's 10, which is we snagged a 2023 bottle. We're doing bourbon, not rye.
Right.
And we have a McKenna Henry 10 year. And this one's going to be tough. So this was a 2021 release. Am I correct about that?
It probably is, because it says 2011.
Yeah, barreled 2011.
Barreled on, but...
So two of my favorites. Obviously, I am very partial to the Michter's 10. But
so you think
we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see, because I love them both.
What did you're going to tell us? The McKenna won something big last couple of years, right?
Yeah. So they're both worthy of the story. So we'll start with the Michter's 10 year. So we, as you know, we had the master distiller on from Michter's.
Mm-hmm.
So they date back to 1753, and that is Shank's Distillery. And I know you've all seen the bottles of Shank's that are out there. It was founded in Pennsylvania by a Swiss Mennonite farmer, a guy named John Shank. And that is the origins of Michter's. And in the 1800s, the distillery was renamed to Bomberger's Distillery. And of course, now they're offering the Shank and the Bomberger's mm-hmm. together as part of their Legacy series. Legacy because the distillery was once named both Shank and then Bomberger. And then if you fast forward 150 years later to the mid-1950s, it's renamed Michter's Distillery. And Lou Forman named Michter's after, if you remember this, his sons, Michael and Peter.
Oh, yeah.
And that is how you get Michter's. So there's no German.
Mr.
I've heard that, but I'd forgotten about
it. Yeah, it's kind of cool. So in the 70s and 80s, it was a top-selling whiskey, and it went bankrupt in 89. And then in 97, Joe Magliocci and Dick Newman of Chatham Imports, they buy the brand name. So it's owned by Chatham Imports. 2000.
But you forgot to say a very important part. Yeah. When he bought it, and by the way, it wasn't the master distiller for Michter's, it was Joe Magliocco that we had on, the CEO.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, you're right.
And he was awesome.
Remember what he paid for that brand?
Yeah.
Was it a dollar or something?
It was $2,400.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I offered to triple his money on, and he wouldn't go for it.
Yeah.
He
wouldn't budge.
So just so people are clear, Michter's didn't begin distilling until 2015. So what we're drinking is clearly sourced Kentucky whiskey. Mm-hmm. And they didn't open their distilling facility in the Fort Nelson building until 2019. And it took them 8 years to actually build that building, $8 million. Huh. So if you now go to 2023, it's the most admired whiskey in the world by Drinks International. Mm-hmm. You know, that day it's coveted on.
He had just received that award too when he came on.
Yeah.
He was inducted into the Bourbon Hall of Fame.
He was
well.
Super humble. I mean, yep. So many people, most of the people we've talked to have been, but he was.
So if you go to Fort Nelson, which is, I just ran into him there.
Yeah.
Right? He was there to get his award, and he was up there like serving drinks and working the cash register. He
wants to clean the bathroom.
I thought it was like an episode of Undercover Boss. And he was like the nicest guy. So then, like when I was away from him, I asked some of the folks working downstairs, I said, is he always that nice? They're like, we love him. Yes.
Wow.
He is that
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Wait, is it speculated where it's sourced from, or do we have any?
And we are going to do that. Okay. So, but just quickly, the Michter's products, right? They got the US one, which is the rye bourbon American whiskey sour mash. They have their limited release, which is the toasted barrel finish sour mash bourbon rye, and the barrel strength series. They have the limited production, which is what we're drinking tonight, the 10-year bourbon, 10-year rye, the 20-year bourbon, and as available, the 25-year bourbon and rye.
Yeah.
And then they have their celebration sour mash, which was only released 4 years in 2013, 16, 19, and 22. And I believe that was that 22 release, right, that got them the whiskey of the International Whiskey of the Year.
Yeah.
Pretty
and
amazing,
it's,
right?
It's amazing. And we actually did a side-by-side of Celebration and Michter's 25.
And you
preferred the 25,
yeah,
to be honest, but I would never turn down a drink of either.
Which one's more, is Celebration more expensive, and how much was it? I'm just curious.
Oh, well, now you can find it. Well, you know, the bottles are,
yeah,
they're like 30 grand or something stupid, but the, you can find it for around $700 a pour at some bars in Louisville.
Interesting.
But it's higher at Fort Nelson. It's $1,700 a pour at Fort Nelson.
I mean, good for them if they have
exactly
it,
and again, their legacy series, which is Bombergers and Shanks, which are what they used to be named. All right.
Those are solid too.
So that's the background on Michter's. It's a kind of a neat story. Mm-hmm. But now Heaven Hill quickly. So the distillery itself, founded in 1935, so it's a much newer distillery, but it's been open a long time, and its roots are with the Jim Beam family. And back when they first opened, Joe and Harry Beam began working at Heaven Hill. Then Earl Beam came on as the master distiller, and he was there for almost 30 years. And his son Parker Beam took over for him, reigned as master distiller until, you know, his demise. So Heaven Hill, storied history. But in terms of McKenna actually goes back further. In 1837, Henry McKenna came to the U.S. from Ireland and moved to Kentucky. And he opened a flour mill. He set up a wooden still shortly thereafter. And in 1883, he built a brick distillery on Whiskey Row in Louisville.
Oh, cool.
So McKenna's goes way back. Another thing I thought was interesting, 1930s, Julian Van Winkle served as the vice president of sales following Prohibition to try to bring back sales for McKenna. So there are a lot of these linkages to Pappy Van Winkle, believe it or not, although this is not a wheated bourbon. It is one of the longest age bottled and bond whiskeys that are available today, 40 seasons. So it's 10 years. In 2019, best in show whiskey and best bourbon. In 2021, double gold and best single barrel bourbon. That Heaven Hill brands, I'm not going to go through all of them. They're too numerous, but Henry McKenna being one of them. And you've got Rittenhouse, Bernheim, Elijah Craig, Parker's Heritage Collection, Old Fitzgerald,
Pikesville,
mm-hmm. Evan Williams, Mellow Corn. It's pretty massive portfolio. So this is actually they purchased the brand, and Heaven Hill did, and they let's see where I've got it right here. In 1941, I'm sorry, McKenna sold the distillery in 1941 to Seagram's, and then in early 1980s, the brand was sold to Heaven Hill, and is now distilled in Bardstown at the Heaven Hill Distillery.
You know, we should do a double barrel with Evan Williams.
Yeah.
I pity the allocated guys up against it, because it is good drinker.
But, I mean, remember, Heaven Hill is 2-0 right now.
That's exactly right.
Double blind.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. We didn't pick it this way, but this will happen again. We'll see. So I have, like, this is now specific to these releases. The Michter's 23E, 1923, 1932 would likely stand for May, the fifth month, E, the letter of 2023. The most coveted bottles that you're talking about, Ben, that were that 13, 14, were that A release. And the question is whether or not the E release is also some of the older bottles.
Well, I also think that people were commenting, making those comments about how great 23A and 23B are before E was ever out. And now they have like 23J.
Wow. It just tells you it's single barrel. So,
yeah.
So the Henry McKenna is barrel 10,808 and is barreled, in April 27, 2011, mm-hmm. More than likely bottled, in 2021. The classification, Michter's is a single barrel straight bourbon. This is a big distinction. Henry McKenna's is a straight bottled in bond bourbon, Kentucky. And to be bottled in bond, for the listeners, it has to be a product of one distillation season and one distiller at a single distillery, has to be aged in a federally bonded warehouse under U.S. government supervision for at least 4 years, has to be bottled at exactly 100 proof. And then one of the lesser known requirement is that the label must clearly identify the distillery where it was distilled and where it was bottled, if it's different than where it was actually distilled. So it's kind of the whole proof in the label. All right. Both of these are at least 10 years old. The Michter's clocks in at 94.4 proof. The Heaven Hill's going to be at 100 proof, per the requirements of bottle and bond. MSRP, $200 on the Michter's, right? Single barrel with a secondary market of, what would you all say? $350?
Yeah, $300 to $350, I think.
$60 for McKenna's. You can probably readily find it for $70 if you look hard enough. I can't imagine it'd be more than 75.
It's usually on the shelf.
Yeah, I see it regularly.
On the shelf, yeah. Which is surprising.
McKenna's is distilled in Barstown, Heaven Hill, and this is where it gets interesting. Michter's is contract distilled, and it's believed to be by Brown-Forman.
Oh, okay.
Now, there are some evidence to suggest that it isn't the old Forrester recipe, but in fact, the early times mash bill, which is a 79% corn, 11% rye, and 10% malted barley, going up against the McKenna at 78% corn, very close, 12% malted barley, and 10% rye.
So super close.
Yeah.
Now, some people have referred, as a result of that early times, the Michter's as like a baby king of Kentucky rather than an old Forrester birthday bourbon.
Yeah.
Because and some of that has to do with the fact that the barrel entry proof on the Michter's is 100 through 3 proof instead of the typical 125, which McKenna's actually barrel entry at. And that's going to it's going to pull a lot of wood sugars out of the barrel. That's where I think we have to really look for the complexity and creaminess of the barrel. It should be there for the Michter's. They also at Michter's use a heat cycling process when they get their barrels, which basically means that they heat up the warehouse in the winter and they let it naturally cool. And they do this to stimulate additional cycles, and it creates a whiskey that actually tastes older than it is. So if you ever wonder why some people think the 10's just amazing, but some of that may be due to heat cycling. Okay. And I think that's it. I think I covered a lot. Sorry about that.
King of Kentucky is one of the best whiskeys I've had in the last 5 years.
Have you ever had the 18 year?
No.
I've seen it. I mean, I don't own one, but I've got a 16 and a 15 and a 14.
What did we have? The 15?
We've had the 15.
15. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when we went to, when I did that pick, when I won the Brown-Forman lottery, was able to get that decanter bottle, they had it open on the bar. You could go drink as much as you want.
Man.
They had King Kentucky and birthday bourbon.
I'd love to get a bottle of the newer. Was it 16 or 18, 16. Right? 16.
The 18 is a couple years old, I think.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. Let's see.
We got one and two, folks. Our system is, we figured it out the last time.
Yeah. Thank you to TJ who measured these and poured them for me.
Viscosity at number one is pretty intense.
It's a little darker, too, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit.
A little darker.
Both amber, but you're right. I think the one has a little more color. The nose is out.
So remember, standing on one. Goal, we're not trying to pick which one is which. We're trying to pick which one we like
prefer.
First.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Even
no winners and no losers.
Even if we think we know,
it's a like different notes, isn't it? One and two.
It is.
Yeah, one is super complex.
Yeah.
Fantastic nose. I think I'm gonna drink them in opposite order.
I mean, I'm getting like the vanilla and caramel and some fruits on one. And more oak and tannins on
yeah, for sure.
Two. All right.
Yep.
One is good. I mean, it's
one is really good.
It's vanilla and caramel, and a lot of oak.
A lot of oak, but I get some of that brightness, some of the fuits in one, more so than two. You haven't had two yet, more so than two. I think the to me, on first taste, the taste matches the nose. Meaning I get two is like a little more tannin.
It's very robust, two is.
Yeah.
And it's really good. The tannins are there, and I detect.
But look at the.
I detect more dark fruits on two, and now the legs on two.
Right. That's why I'm looking at your glass.
They actually. The legs on two now have like completely gone off the friggin' reservoir here.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like the nose on one, but two is just it's a great whiskey.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta keep drinking.
Keep drinking.
Ben's got this mischievous smile on his face.
Because I have no clue. You don't. Honestly, and I really like them both.
I mean, I know we're not picking what is what, but I really like number two.
I don't know. I've kind of
one's an easier drinker, but
I think I may lean towards one. I gotta chill out for a second.
Yeah.
Yes, we were saying before we started rolling, I just haven't had a lot of Michters. And I don't know why. I mean, some people get super into it. You made the point, Joe, that like in this game now you kind of have to pick what you choose to go after. And Michters has not been one of those for me, but I'm excited. That's why I was excited to do this.
I love Michters. And I'll tell you what would be a slugfest on a double barrel is Michters toasted versus Elijah Craig toasted.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be. But maybe that's our next series, slugfest instead of double barrel.
Yeah, slugfest.
Because they're both, both readily available.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Michters toasted, I don't ever see it on the shelf. Do you?
The brown label I think that's the brown. It's out there periodically.
Yeah, I will see that periodically, I'll see it. Actually.
I think all the U.S. one, the regulars, that is their regular rotation. And if you look, you may not see it as much in West Virginia, but it's out there. The Michter's problem for me has just been it's the upper end stuff and it's expensive. And you have to just decide, they're still, Kyle, go back to Booker's and I go back to my Elijah Craig, barrel proofs, and they're just very affordable. They're amazing. They're consistent. And I know people are rabid fans of their Michters, and if you're willing to pay for it, and now that I've done the research and you see what they went, that low barrel entry and how much time it spends in the barrel and the complexity, it's interesting. But again, this is, more than likely sourced from Brown-Forman, and I would guess they're phasing out that relationship right now because we're about 8 years.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The math would suggest
that they distillery opens what 2019. I said so, and they're not quite there yet. Right?
But what'd you say? I thought you said they started distilling some in 15, but then
they built a new distillery. Yeah. Fort Nelson opened in 19, I think.
So you remember this 2023 release? There was not a 2022 release of the 10-year bourbon. So when we had Joe Magliocco, and we asked him, what was that like? I mean, he had to make a pretty difficult decision. You're going to forego millions and millions of dollars in revenue. And he said, well, the bourbon was good. We just knew it would be better if we waited a year.
Yeah.
And so he waited. And actually, I
cool
think,
answer.
If I recall, this is either a 13 or a 14 year bourbon.
At least the A was, right? Those early. Really early, the early barrels, because every I guess every the A, B, C, D, E, I'm thinking E is the fifth month. That's how they do the nomenclature. Yeah. So J would be whatever J is, right?
Well, so do they only do how many barrels?
I don't have enough fingers.
I need to drink a little more to get that one right.
How many barrels are they doing per year of the 10-year? Is it like one a month, or is it? Who knows?
Ben, tell me. I think there are multiple, I would guess, with the A, because it goes A 1932. So there probably are, and there's a, I don't know if that's barrel number one. I'm just guessing.
So A is a month, and then there may be three or
there's whatever. There's a four barrel number, but there that number would distinguish what barrel. I'm just guessing that the number barrel would be, there might the be barrel. Multiple A's. Yeah. I think number one, that the nose is just, it's outstanding.
Yeah,
the nose. You know, and... It's I'm looking at, It reminds me of the last two episodes. That's that Heaven Hill Knows, man.
On one, you think?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it because they, it seems like I'm a nose person, like in terms of the aromas and all that crap. I really like that. And I wouldn't be shocked if that's what it was. I think too, man, it just, if you really move it around and chew on it, man, it's got great dark fruits and oak and
I still think I'm leaning towards one. I don't know. We'll give me another minute. You know, so we were talking about the product and collect. Yeah. I had a buddy text me this week. He was somewhere, I think in Lexington, and he's like, I'm at whatever store. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't Liquor Barn, but he's like, they've got 600 whiskeys. I'm like, this is part of the challenge.
Yeah.
Like we, and you know, the three of us have more knowledge than the average person. Maybe that's a stretch, but
you two do.
The average person in whiskey, but like, it's overwhelming. I mean, I think it's overwhelming for people. And that's what's going to be interesting to me is see how does this all shake out? Because my gosh, there's so much product out there.
There's a ton of product, but you said that because of the entry proof, that one would be creamier than the other.
It would be, yeah, it's supposed to release more of those wood sugars that provide more complexity,
so the
creaminess to it.
Entry proof on...
it's 125. Heaven Hill...
On Henry McKenna is 125.
Yeah, Heaven Hill products generally all go in, at least from the distillery.
Yeah, the Michter.
125.
I like one. Two, they're both very good. I mean, that's the lovely thing about this series is we're putting very good bourbons or whiskeys in every time. Two to me has like a little more bitterness. And, you know, I like the notes I like are the brighter notes, like the sweeter, brighter notes is what I go for. So one to me is if I have to pick, it's pick. They're both very good.
And again, the nose on one.
Nose on one's fantastic.
I mean, it's just, there's so much vanilla on that nose, and it's really good, and just the right amount of oak. Two is the nose is so tannic. Have you noticed that? It's almost dry, like leather, like.
Yep.
I love the finish on one. Like it's a long. To me, it's a long finish. Yeah. Two is not quite as long.
I think with two, if you really move it around, gotta drink some water. But then if you I go back to the chewing, but you get in there and like chew it and like really move it around your palate. I think you'll see like some of these really like some of the richer flavors come out of that. I'm just, again, I think that's my preference.
Two. Yeah.
I like the nose on one, but I like the, I think two is a, like, that's one I think like I could drink a few ounces, and every ounce you really start to develop and build. So I'm guessing that, you know, two is the Michter's 10, because of the profile of it. And I actually like it better. I don't like, I think the nose is, maybe you need some water in there, right? Or I don't know, a couple drops, but I'm not going to go there because it's already 94 proof. But
yeah,
90, don't be fooled by that, because the 94 proof, even though it's lower than 100, that lower barrel entry is going to produce a lower proofed whiskey to start with. So, Ben, you recently had the 10.
Last night.
Can you pick it out? Or not even pick it out, but you've had it.
Where are you?
You
Where
love the 10. Yes, you love that.
I do love the 10, but I also love Henry McKenna. Like I usually have a bottle open here.
Just like drink a bottle a night. Yeah.
No, not a bottle a night. No. I don't drink a bottle every month.
I'm on one.
This is a close call for me.
Yeah.
It really is, because I enjoy them both. There's something about the finish on one that I prefer. And I also agree, like I can't tell you if it tastes like leather, if it tastes, but I can tell you that to me, one has a better flavor. I don't know what the flavor is.
But I couldn't tell
but
you.
But it's like, you know, it's like, it's just, is. I like the flavor. Now, I would never turn down number two, but yeah. I'm anxious to find out. So this is a close one. Yeah. I'll pick one over
here. Yeah.
And one has those classic vanilla caramel and some nice oak. I mean, it has that classic profile and it's perfectly aged. I'm guessing that's what it is, but I am going to go with two, because I love the super creamy viscosity that fills my mouth when I move it around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little partial to the looking for those cherries and dark plummy flavors.
Yeah, but that's so interesting because you get more of that on two. I get more of that on one.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
And I might be way off base, but I'm getting that on two.
All right, sure. Should I do it?
Yeah, let's open it up. Let's see.
I go two.
All right.
They're both great.
Ben and Kyle, one.
Yeah.
Joe's two.
Let's see what's what. One is Michter's.
Well, I think Henry I'm a Heaven Hill guy.
You're a Heaven Hill guy.
I'm batting like 3 for 3.
You're a Heaven Hill guy. Uh-huh. One is Michter's, two McKenna.
Wow.
And it looks like a second grader wrote this. Was one of my kids over here? Did they do this?
I was about to say.
Was Gigi?
He may have hit the bottle before he drank
that,
it.
I'm blown away again. I don't know what to say. I'm going to just be silent on this one because I was convinced, honestly, not just they're both great whiskeys. Don't get me wrong, but I mean truly convinced that the complex whiskey was the number two. And it just turns out that not that McKenna's not complex. It turns out that I guess my palate likes that little that must like it better.
Yeah. These are both, you know, 10-year plus whiskeys are both fantastic distillers. There's no right or wrong answer.
Essentially the same mash bill. You know, maybe this year's edition of Michter's, the 2023, may have been in the barrel a little longer, but not much longer. I mean, a couple of years, maybe.
I love Heaven Hill product, but when you said like this is kind of a baby king of Kentucky, it's like, oh boy. Well, that again, that's like one of the best whiskeys I've had.
It is
in recent times, so I'm not shocked that that's where I ended up. But
all right, well now let's talk about value.
Yeah,
because Michter's MSRP is 200. If you're going to get it secondary, it's 300 to 350
at least.
McKenna Henry for me is always available at the local Walgreens. It's always available at Patrick Street, the liquor company. They always have it. So which is Michter's 10-year
that much
worth an extra $150?
I mean, I would say would I pay $350 for the Michter's 10? Yes. Now, when you're comping them side by side, it's like, oh, that's harder. But I don't think 350 is crazy. That's a damn good whiskey.
It is. It is. But that was the kind of the point of double barrel.
Yeah.
Like, is the extra $200 that you're going to pay for an allocated bottle worth it?
Or maybe more than worth it. It is just understanding there's good quality whiskeys that are available that kind of stand up.
Yeah, but that's why McKenna One has won so many awards, that's like we just proved it, right? It's not surprising. I mean, you and I, Ben, we're not like, oh, you know, we hate two, we love one. It was like, oh, these are both good.
They're both good.
Man, if I have to choose, and you pick, you know,
I'm about as blind as a blind can get because I really don't drink a lot of Michter's.
Yeah.
So I'm like walking into this, and I have a lot of McKenna's. I just never open it.
Well,
I don't. I need to.
I mean,
it's a reminder, like the Larceny Barrel Proof.
Oh yeah, gosh, that Larceny. So you know, effectively, double barrel is just one large advertisement for Heaven Hill. People are like, you guys say you don't take money. Heaven Hill
don't take money.
Definitely paying you.
We don't.
We promise.
They don't.
No one has paid us.
Yeah. Not yet.
Well, we've had offers.
Yeah,
we turned them down.
Yeah, I mean it's good for Heaven Hill, fantastic product.
And good for Michter's, right? I mean, you guys, two out of three went for the Michter's. That says a lot. And again, I say that had the superior nose.
Oh, the nose definitely was fantastic.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just different. I mean, the flavor profile is different, and I think that's what maybe that's a lesson in all of this. Which is this series has been so much fun, but you know, what you prefer as an individual is going to vary. And it's like the quote kind of good and bad, not bad whiskey, but like, you know, these bottles are amazing and that you have to go seek out this allocated. It's like, well, what do you like? Because that's what's important. Right.
Well, I think that's where really the argument comes in. Yeah, I mean, if both of these bottles were free, then I'd take the Michter's 10 every time, but they're not.
Yeah.
And is the value there?
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's where it kind of, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this, because you know you start comparing like, you know, Old Rip 10 to
Larceny. That one's like, buddy, and larceny.
And so, you know, even the Pappy 15, which one do we compare that one to? It was
we haven't released it yet.
It's coming out. It's coming out. Yeah, we're recording this, but that one's released tomorrow.
That was the Makers.
Yeah, Makers.
Right now,
the 2015.
That one was a little. That was a bigger difference to me. But again, you're talking about the difference of $2,000 on the secondary.
Yeah,
between the bottles.
That's where the
and they're both good.
And they're both good. Yeah, that's where this one to me, I'm kind of like it's a little. The value question is a little bit of a toss up, and I'm usually hardest on value, but I'm like, man. That Mector's is good.
Well, they're just from a physical appearance, they're both really good looking bottles. Great labels. The Mector's 10, kudos to Mector's, right? Their whole branding is
fantastic.
It's awesome. Yeah, the bottle, awesome. The waxing on the 10.
Beautiful.
It's like hard not to. I mean, it's the whole package. And I think McKenna is still a good looking bottle, and it's got a story. And it needs to be. It needs more love, probably out there. And it's older. Come on, 1837 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Henry McKenna from Ireland.
All right, folks, you heard it. 2 out of 3 whiskey nerds prefer Mictor's 10 over Henry McKenna 10. But
dumb whiskey
nerds. Value question, I'll let you guys decide that because I don't know. I'm torn.
You can listen in to the Pappy 15 with that we paired against.
Maker's Cask.
The Maker's Cask, and you will see the same result, 2-1. And so that's what's going to be very interesting, right? All of this is kind of very, to me, it almost boils down to, are these good whiskeys, or is there one that's just, this is not a good whiskey?
We haven't had one yet that was bad.
No, we're putting up, that's because we're picking the non-allocated are, I would argue in every case, like really good whiskeys, and we know they're good. Yeah.
There are some that I think, you know, you get in that, like the Jack Daniels 10, the one that won Whiskey of the Year, was it last year, I think?
Yeah.
Or a year before?
We did a review. Oh, no, that, not the 10, but we did.
The Bottle and Bond.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels 10 Bottle and Bond. I'm telling you, that's punching way above its weight class. There are several that you can find on the shelf, $30-$40.
Yeah. I know.
And it's they'll be better than some of the $200 and $300 bottles.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, stay tuned. It sounds like everyone we've done, we've at least identified that the whiskey that's affordable and available is kind of worth the price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you check out our new website. We just revamped it, bourbonpodcast.com. You'll get all the episodes. You got our latest Instagram posts. We don't do the Facebook on there. Too many scammers on Facebook. But we got a lot going on. Plus we've got a updated news segment. So if you want to get some whiskey news, bourbonpodcast.com. Thanks for tuning in. Some of that.